Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, it's Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for Hanks. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to You've Got Hanks. This is a podcast about Tom Hanks. My name is Rachel, and today I'm very excited because I have two of my favorite people in the entire world. They're the co-hosts of I Was Scared Too. It's JCT and Fez.
Hello.
Hello. Awoo.
Awoo. Hi, I'm JCT, and he's Fez.
Yes. And we have monikers, but we won't get into those right now.
Save that for our own time. If you want to hear some other nicknames, check out our podcast, I Was Scared Too. But for now, Fez and JCT is enough.
Most content is locked up behind a paywall. Ours is locked up behind an irony wall. All right. Sorry.
No one has to pay to listen to this. I actually have to pay people to listen to this. Just kidding. I'm excited because we're back to season one topic, which is Tom Hanks. We're talking about his new movie, Finch, which is on Apple TV. Is that where you guys watched it?
It is. I did not torrent this. I went the legal methods. I even went so far as to pay $5 a month to get back on it.
Wow. No, really?
Which is a sticker because I got a new iPad in December, but they're not doing that 1 year free deal anymore.
If this is your first Apple product kind of thing?
Or? I kind of looked into it and they're sort of not doing that. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's like if you get a new phone, you can get like, I think maybe only through AT&T, you can get three months of Apple Plus TV.
Got my little wife's ski an iPhone for Christmas. And we got those 3 months. So I don't know.
I also, I had it for like 2 years straight with, I got like a new computer or whatever, like 2 years ago or 1 year or something, you know, but.
I think they're just like, this guy's buying too many Apple products. We'll be out of money in a minute.
Exactly.
Given an Apple TV Plus subscription.
I think I also like, I paid for 1 month because I forgot and like it went into December. I paid. We got him. We don't need to give this guy a free year. He's a fool. He's in. And then I'm like, wait, but I have a, no. Mm-mm. We tricked you. But it's great because I enjoyed watching Finch and I now get to watch season 2 and 3 of Servant.
That's true.
What's that?
M. Night Shyamalan's Rupert Grint he's like the second guy, third guy, but like a thriller, suspense,
it's
horror.
It's about a couple parents who had a child and lost a baby did not make it, kind of. Aww. And but the mom is
then
with the grief, you know. Yeah, so then they get this weird girl from Pennsylvania, you know, from the sticks.
Just get this weird girl, you
and
know?
Get a weird girl. Just... We need a weird girl to be our babysitter. And they find a weird girl, all right. And then spooky stuff starts happening.
Oh, no.
That initial turn in that first episode really does get you hooked for a wild ride.
Oh,
it's a wild ride.
So you recommend it?
I do. Fesh, are you all caught up?
No, but I still like it and recommend it.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. I'm going to dive into season 2 and 3 soon.
Nice. Well, okay. Well, then I don't feel bad that I made you pay for Finch. And you know what? $5 is cheaper than paying for a movie nowadays.
Exactly. Yeah. I would have rented it for $5 probably if it was on Amazon or, you know, some other streaming thing, you know.
Yeah, so you know, go get your Apple TV, you guys. Just kidding, this isn't an ad, they don't need the money. Okay, well, this was the second Tom Hanks movie to be released on Apple TV. The first was Greyhound, which, did you guys see that?
Have not seen Greyhound yet. Did you? What's the verdict on Greyhound?
It's okay.
Was it Sully on a bus? What is it?
It was just kind of Tom Hanks on a submarine,
Well, I think Captain Phillips is solely on a boat.
I thought it was a bus. Is Greyhound not about a bus?
No, it's about a
World War
II
boat. Yeah. Submarine. Oh, yeah, right.
Gosh. Yeah. And it's just kind of stressful, but boring stressful, you know, where it's just like, oh, are they going to make it? Well, you know, Tom Hanks. But yeah, for that, I walked away thinking, my guest for that episode said that it was a good, no. I read a review that it was good for like grandpas on a Sunday.
Yes. You know?
It's a grandpa Sunday movie. Like you walk into the living room, grandpa's sitting in his chair watching Greyhound. And you're like, oh, okay. So if that's your thing, then yeah.
I also heard it was like barely 70 minutes. It's like maybe 82 minutes with 10 minutes of credits. So
yeah, it's really not that long. Yeah.
If you're into the whole brevity thing, man, it sounds like Greyhound's the movie for you.
Yeah. Also, you know, just Tom Hanks, which you can never have too much Tom Hanks, right?
You know, I think you're a little biased, Rachel, but I don't think you're wrong either.
Well, okay, let's get into Finch. So Finch, released in 2021. The a synopsis on IMDb is, on a post-apocalyptic Earth, a robot built to protect the life of his creator's beloved dog learns about life, love, friendship, and what it means to be human. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a very...
I think they nailed that synopsis.
Yeah. Okay, so first impressions, when I first saw this, because I didn't see a trailer or anything for it. I just saw it. I thought it was a fake movie at first. but then it looks like it would be a fun movie. It's Tom Hanks, a dog, and a robot. That sounds fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what were your first impressions?
Let's see. You get fake movie 100%. I remember seeing maybe some billboard somewhere or like banners on the Apple TV, you know, menu. It's like, that can't be what? I just think Finch is a bad name for a movie. It doesn't tell you
generally
anything.
Titles that are just a name are bad titles. I never really like it when a title is just Howard, you know, or Christine or whatever.
On that note, I got to thinking, like, what's a good example of it? When does that work? And the only thing I could think of was Malcolm X, I guess. And it's like, yeah, that's what that movie would be about.
Forrest Gump.
Well,
that first
works.
And last name, even that's a little different, but just, you know, I guess Cujo is successful. But
Cujo, yeah.
But again, nothing else is named Cujo, but when you know.
And I think too, it's like it has to work. When it works, it's like, well, yeah, this is a movie about that person, that character. Right. And sometimes it's like, well, no, like, you know, this is a movie in my mind just as much about Jeff as it is.
This movie should be called Jeff.
Or even Goodyear. Really, Goodyear is the heart of the movie. Ooh. Goodyear the dog, you know.
Yeah. But then people would think
about
it was a movie
about
a blimp.
Shout out to Dewey.
That's true. What's that? Oh, wait, what am I thinking of? Chappie, that's a successful.
Well, I think we're gonna have to talk about Chappie quite a bit on this podcast.
I haven't seen Chappie, but it's a robot movie, right?
I also haven't seen Chappie.
It's essentially the same premise, but if it was like not post-apocalyptic, just like kind of middle of bad stuff happening, and this robot's gonna learn about life and love in South Africa.
Oh, okay.
Different, but it's similar.
Yeah. There's a lot of movies about robots learning about life.
That's true.
I what's that one with Haley Joel in it?
AI, artificial intelligence.
Okay. Yeah. And then I don't know. There's that robots, the animated movie, right?
The Robin Williams movie, yeah.
That's
Bicentennial
Jeff
Man
looks
too.
Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, that's the Robin Williams one, right?
They're both Robin Williams. He's in robots and Bicentennial, and he's in AI artificial intelligence.
That's right. He plays the
voice. Dude loved robots.
Romulans fucking love robots. They ought to bring him back as a robot.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, we learned something new today. Okay, well, you know, and then we watched Finch, so now we know what it's about.
My first impressions of this movie was a push notification from the Alamo Draft House app saying, hey, if you go see Finch, the popcorn's free.
Whoa.
Wow. And I was like,
huh, it's pretty. I'm listening. And then I looked at Finch and I was like, maybe. And then just time never presented itself for me to head to the theater.
If you were creating a specific menu for the Alamo Draft House for Finch, what would be on the menu?
Well, I think it's popcorn because of the one scene, right? That's it. The reason they gave away the popcorn is because when they popped it, the popcorn on the what's that? The rim? The rim of
yeah,
the
like tire? A hubcap. Yeah.
Hubcap. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. Other than that, it's dog food, right? They would serve some dog food and that's it.
Yeah,
maybe some peaches, like canned peaches as a dessert in some way. Ooh,
they have good milkshakes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, they, when I was there in December, I tried their candy cane milkshake and it was fantastic.
What did you see?
Licorice pizza in 70 millimeter.
With the candy cane milkshake. What an evening.
Yes, it was. Well, afternoon, but yeah, it was. Oh,
I took a guess. So yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, it was a good guess.
One year they had a special Hanksgiving month where each weekend they played a different Tom Hanks movie and then they would have special cocktail menu because it was like a brunch thingy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
When I was in New York, Nighthawk for brunch was showing You've Got Mail and could have gone, but didn't.
You didn't.
My dad was, I didn't know if my dad would be into that and probably wouldn't. So we skipped it, you know.
What did you guys end up doing instead?
We ended up going to the Prospect Park Nighthawk to see The Secret Life of Plants, a 70s documentary about plants having feelings with music by Stevie Wonder. A fun, weird documentary of its time.
And it wasn't like Secret Life of Pets.
No, which is a good ride, which I rode yesterday.
It is. Oh, you did?
Yes.
It's a fun one. And it's got a fun cue to it too.
Yes. Oh yeah.
You know, nowadays rides need to have fun cues because that's where you spend most of your time.
Oh yeah. Well, what was crazy, it was a very low attended day yesterday and I was just whipping through the queue, but I could have hung at one point. It's like, it's a nice kitchen part, you know? And it's like,
were you about to say I could have hung out there?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, no one is rushing me along. I think surely there's a camera watching me, but I don't think they would be mad if I just hung out here.
No,
also, it's universal. I mean, I don't know. Is anybody watching that camera?
Exactly. No. Oh, no.
You never know. Someone could. One time I went to the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum and there was a room where they were playing Usher and I was dancing around. And then I went to the next room and a man who was working there was like, nice moves. And I was like, oh no, they were watching. So, yeah. So sometimes people are watching. So be careful. There's cameras everywhere and you don't want to be dancing to Usher. Or you do. I don't know. Okay. Well, let's get into the movie. But before, what is your favorite Tom Hanks movie?
Excellent question, Rachel. Besh, would you like to start?
No, I would like you to start.
All right. That's fair. And it's a good question in a lot of ways. And I think I'm going to have to go with That Thing You Do.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's great. Choice.
Written, directed, and starring Tom Hanks.
That's right. I watched early in the pandemic, now 2 years ago, Jesus, but the extended cut or director's cut, the longer version of That Thing You Do, and it's fun. It's a little weird. Yeah. There are times where it's like, well, yeah, this should have been cut. This is unnecessary. Yeah.
But it makes the Spartacus thing make sense now, right?
Exactly, yes.
Because before you're like, why is he saying this? And then you realize that he's saying it because in the beginning when they're making out, he says it because there's a poster on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd cut is the part where it's needlessly complicated, where it's like the radio DJ, I think Ron Howard's brother, is it? It's just like, here, yeah, you record this, and then I'll get the tape, pass the tape along. It's like, eh, they can just, you can just make it an album with his jazz hero. You know, we can just speed this along. But otherwise, I like it. It's a wonderful cut.
Yeah,
it's good. I think I only saw the theatrical cut, but I like it a lot.
You gotta watch the Tom Hanks version.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Promise us, Fesh, you will watch. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Not now. Yeah, yeah. Eventually, someday.
Is that's it easy to find? Where... Is it just a DVD with both versions, or?
As I recall, it wasn't too hard. It was maybe streaming somewhere. Maybe I had to rent it. You know.
Yeah, mine came. It was a DVD version where it had the two versions, and love it just that. Started playing the director's version. I was like, "This is longer than I remember," and I was like, "Oh, okay, now I know why." Yeah.
I'm leaning towards the Burbs.
Oh, the Burbs. That's a very good one. That's a very good one.
The Burbs.
They played that at the Alamo Draft House. That was one of the movies they played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
It's a good one. It's a good, and that one also was because there was a writer's strike going on at the time. So a lot of it was improvised because they couldn't rewrite the script at all. Even if it wasn't working, they just, yeah. So, it's a fun fact. It was also shot at the Universal lot.
Wow.
Where I was the other day.
Yeah.
It's all coming.
Right. It's all coming back to me now, as Celine Dion said. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Finch. So, it's post-apocalyptic, right? I think someone did the math and it's supposed to take place in like 2048 or something like that, or 2043 or something like that. So yeah, not too far away in the future.
So are we older than Finch or younger than Finch still?
Oh, good question.
I think it also did the math where his postcard at the end that he gets from his dad was from like 1984. Oh, okay. And at the time he was 15, so he's still older than us, but he's younger than he is in real life.
Acting.
Yeah. but yeah, so okay. So I immediately first got WALL-E vibes. Did you guys also get WALL-E vibes? Cause it looks like WALL-E, and he also has a robot that looks kind of like WALL-E. The Dewey, he's kind of like a robot dog, kind of, right?
Yes, he's on all fours. He rolls around, doesn't speak. Maybe make some bleeps and bloops and noises as, hey, it's a robot. You know, you got to make some noises.
Yeah, and there, hey, listen,
you got a problem with the robot making some bleeps and bloops? There's the door,
buddy. You're the problem. If you got a problem with a robot making bleeps and bloops, you're the problem. Get out.
Well, I just feel like in 2043, the robot shouldn't bleep and bloop. It should be talking.
That's right. But then it's been like 10 years of everything falling apart. So a lot of science probably stalls, you know.
Yeah.
Our man Finch, who is Tom Hanks, he's a good scientist. He's good at technology.
I mean, I don't even know if he's a good scientist. I think he's a good survivalist. I don't know if he's... I think these are traits like he picked up during it, right? Or is this, did I miss something there? Or,
well, he talks about having a background in science. Like he worked on a team. When he talks about how he's not good on a team, he tells a story about how he gave his team credit when he's like, I did all the
that's
work.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. A real jerk. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, he's like looking through a grocery store and we find dog food and he gets excited and we're like, oh, he has a dog. And then we see his dog. And his he goes back to his little home thing, but it's scary because there's like a storm thingy coming and there's lots of radiation or whatever. I don't know the future. And then he only has like one can of peaches, sadly.
That's then, right. He's getting low on groceries.
Yeah. And then it's immediately sad because it's basically foreshadowing that Tom Hanks is going to die. And I was like, I have to sit through 2 hours of watching Tom Hanks die? No, thank you. But I did. I watched it. But it was very, it was immediately sad. And luckily, the one thing about watching a movie in a movie theater is you're forced to watch the whole thing straight through, right? Mm-hmm. But for a streaming service, I get stressed out. I can pause it and walk away, which is, I had to do a bunch of times during this movie because I was like, I can't handle it right now. I don't know how you guys watch it.
I took a maybe not too long a break, but around an hour in, I was like, oh boy, I'm going to pause and wash some dishes or maybe use the bathroom for an extended period of time. I was like, because there was also at that point, he was being very mean to Jeff the robot. Yeah. And I was like, dude, Jeff's trying his hardest. He was born yesterday. And so that stressed me out a little. And I was like, I need a little break. But yeah, I did watch it in one night, you know, and
Did you, what, do you want a cookie, JZT?
Yes, damn it. I watched a whole movie in one almost sitting. Give me a cookie.
It is very hard to do nowadays. So,
unrelated, but I tried watching a Peacock show, Wolf Like Me, in one night. Good. And I needed to took 3 days because those episodes are a lot to take in.
It's a little wild that Gad isn't going to be in Moonfall. Like, that the guy in Moonfall isn't Josh Gad. I think that's wild, personally.
Yeah, release the Gad cut of Moonfall.
Okay. Well, yeah, Tom Hanks makes Jeff the robot. That's not his name yet. He gets his name later on. But Jeff is he's trying his best. And basically Tom Hanks made Jeff because he's going to die and he needs something to take care of his dog.
Yes.
This movie's so sad, especially when I saw it and I thought it was a fake movie. And then I thought it was just going to be a fun movie about Tom Hanks, a robot, and a dog. And then it's immediately, no, it's a Tom Hanks movie where he's going to die again. So sad. But yeah, then there's a big storm and they have to leave. And they have to go to San Francisco.
Like, what, isn't it like 23 storms are converging exactly where he is?
Yeah, it's like it's going to be 40 days straight of like sandstorms that he can't go outside in, or he will die. And he can't look for, he doesn't have enough food for 40 days. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, yeah, no choice. You can either go east or west. And there's too many people on the East Coast. And so it's like, all right, we're going west.
Yeah.
Westward, no.
And then, so they all get in the RV. Or whatever that is.
Which must be a really good air conditioning unit in there because it's supposedly 144 degrees outside and he just is fine.
Yeah. Like, you know.
Well, I also picked up
too. Must be hot.
Yeah.
It seemed like he rigged it so that it was solar powered on top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was wondering, like, does he have enough gas? And like, they struggle just to find food. Does he have enough gas to get to San Francisco? But I would almost assume he's solar powered.
Yeah, the top, that thing on the top that breaks when the clearance is too low. And
yes,
solar powered. Yeah, that's smart. He's so smart, Tom.
Finch is very smart. He's
Finch, not Tom Hanks. Finch is very smart. You know, I wonder if Tom took this movie because when that Martian movie with Matt Damon came out, Tom read the book and he was like really in love with the book and he wanted to be in the movie, but he was too old for it. So I haven't seen the Martian movie. Is it the Martian? I don't know what it is.
Yes, the Martian with, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
From a book by Andy Weir, because I've seen that at Barnes & Noble. I know that.
Yeah.
Have not read it. Haven't seen the movie.
Haven't read it. I do think I think I own an audiobook of it, but I haven't listened to it. Anyway, so I think maybe he saw this and was like, this is my Martian movie.
But I mean, it's kind of got vague Castaway vibes in the sense of like, it's about process and survival and reckoning with mortality and stuff.
And apparently executive produced by Robert Zemeckis, I saw in the credits, so he's, I don't know how involved he was, but that's interesting, you know.
Yeah. Tom likes to work with the same group of friends. And they're all the coolest people.
Robert Zemeckis, coolest guy in the world.
Cool guy. Yeah.
Steven Spielberg. Wrong with that. He works with him a lot.
This director hasn't really done too much. He directed like a movie in 2010, I think, called Repo Men or something. And he's like a British guy. And it was sort of his idea. I watched The Making of Finch, which is about 8 minutes on Apple TV.
How'd they do? They did it in 8 minutes? That's impressive.
And a succinct 8 minutes. My thing was, I was sure that this was like a COVID era movie.
Yeah.
Like made, because like, it's like, well, it's one actor. One other actor has the robot.
It's also like sort of about COVID too, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But it was weird. And I don't know where they filmed it. I assume New Zealand, Australia, somewhere, or maybe England. But when in the making of shots, they show them making it. No one was wearing a mask. So maybe, I don't know when. I don't know if it was filmed in an era when it's like, oh, we're all vaccinated. We don't need to get the mask anymore. You know, like in the 2 months. Yeah, when that happened.
Or is this when that no good Borat gave him COVID-19? Is that?
Yeah.
If I'm still so mad at Borat for giving Tom Hanks COVID. Borat!
And Rita, too! He gave it to Rita, too. There was actually Tom was talking about when they found out they had it, the night before they went to dinner, and he was like, this is the best food I've ever had. And Rita was like, it's okay. I can't really taste much of it.
Wow. Oh, poor Rita.
Yeah. So Rita had more of the symptoms and Tom didn't. But yeah, apparently he was getting really mad at her because he was like, no, it's really good. And she's like, it's okay. Wow. Yeah, but you need that iconic Tom freaking out about something, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When he looks like alarmed and like worried, but like, you know, he's not going to flip out. He's not going to be a mess. He's like, but I will do it to the best of my ability. It's great. There's no one else better than that. Like, this is serious. And I just recently watched Sully. Shout out to Schultz Sully. what a movie about a just competent guy dealing with a stressful situation.
What the Hanks thing kind of becomes at a certain point, right? It's like he almost exclusively is movies that are just like, I gotta be the one who takes care and makes the hard decisions, but is kind at the same time. And I don't mean that to be oversimplifying in a negative way. I think it's good. I think it's good.
Yeah.
But no also, sorry, to go back to Castaway. To Castaway. This movie is about what if Wilson could talk back.
Yeah,
like, that's what this movie is. Like, let me make Wilson, but now Wilson gets to have dialogue.
Yeah, it is.
He's got a red face and everything.
Yeah.
Now, one thing they say in the making of is they go, I believe it's Tom Hanks who says this. He goes, you know, the audience, they start filling in the dialogue for Goodyear the dog. And I go, I don't think so. Like, at no point did I go. But I think in Castaway, you do a little bit like imagine what Wilson's saying. And then...
Wow, it's also both characters are named after the brand that he is looking at when he sees them. Yeah. Wilson, the volleyball, and Goodyear, the tire. Interesting.
Huh. A little fun connection. Are we to assume that Finch is the Castaway character?
Oh, yeah, it's the Pixar theory. Yeah, it's Boo is a witch who went back in time and made cars people, and that's how we got here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is. I tried the figuring out a Tom Hanks theory where all of his movies are connected.
Ooh. It's
possible. I don't know.
Yeah, too many wrenches besides like Toy Story. Toy Story is a little fantastical to take place in the same world as Sully or Bridge of Spies, but yeah.
Yeah. It could work, you know? You never know. Toys could
you know
move
what?
Around.
Yeah. Wait, there it is. They don't move around when the people are moving. So in those movies, we only see the people. We don't see the toys.
The only human who knows is Sid, and he everyone thinks he's crazy. So toys could come to life when we're not around. I still believe that's possible.
I believe that in my heart. Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
You guys are nuts. You know what? I was humoring you for a minute. You guys are crazy. Toys do not come alive when we leave the room.
Hey, look, I'm not going to argue too hard because there's no way to prove it because I'm human, but I've...
So do they know about cameras? The toys know about cameras, right? I can leave a nanny cam in the room and the toys would know.
Yes, I have to believe. Especially with the scent of nanny cams. Yeah. You
know. Yeah.
Yeah. That's rude, though. You should allow your toys to live their lives. So take those cameras out.
But I want them to live it freely. They're doing it in the shadows. And I'm saying, come out and hang out with me, dude. Let's, yes. You know, I'm only letting you live, I don't know, a quarter of your life because the most of the rest of the time you're pretending to be unconscious.
I think it's one of those things where it's just so ingrained. And then they're like, ooh, I understand that this person is cool with it, but like, I feel weird. And also, if this gets back to my toy superiors, I might be thrown into toy jail, you know?
Yeah.
And again, this is a movie about a toy who talks to people, though. Jeff is a toy who talks to people.
That's right.
Yeah. So Jeff,
I think this is all of Tom Hanks's movies put together.
And Jeff, too, is learning these rules. Like, oh, okay, these are the rules. And I want to, I thought I was following the rule. No, apparently that's not right. Like, I thought I was showing, you know, Jeff shows initiative at one point. But that was a bad call.
Really related to that one. Oof. Oof.
That was scary, too. Because who were those people?
It's like a hospital they break into, or Jeff goes into, right?
Yeah.
And
to get medicine.
Yeah, and there's like a scary part where it's like they have like X-rays blocking off the windows, the moon, the roof, the ceiling, and that's spooky. That's cool, spooky.
That?
Yeah.
That was scary. And then as they're leaving, we see a car. That scary thing where the car's headlights turn on and they start following, and you're like, I don't like it. It's scary.
And like miles later, they find out, oh no, we're being followed. It's like, oh no.
Yeah. And then also that's where Dewey dies because he gets in the trap.
Yeah. Oh, so sad. Poor Dewey.
I gotta say it's a rough quarter of the year for characters named Dewey in movies. just a little bit of a slight spoiler for a movie that came out this last month.
Oh,
you know it. Yeah. You know it.
Mm-hmm. I know it. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
We may have covered it on
We have covered it in the podcast.
Okay.
I almost, my mind went to, is there a guy on the Jackass crew named Dewey?
Who died?
Who dies in Jackass Forever? Like, I hope
we'll have to see it in a couple of days. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, isn't there going to be I was thinking Huey, Dewey, Louie movie or something like that, Disney Plus. And I was
They lose one of the nephews.
It's just Huey and Louie now.
The movie just opened up. Dewey has passed away. Dewey has leukemia, and we need to honor him.
If we're going to kill off Dewey from DuckTales, how Huey and... Louie react to it are going to be polar opposites, and that's what we're going to explore is it's how that's the same smart. Family can create such different reactions to tragedy.
That sounds like a really like nice Oscar movie, you know, where Huey and Louie have to deal with after Dewey dies, you know.
Yeah,
this is fun. maybe unrelated, maybe a tangent, but have you guys seen the trailer for Bel Air, the new Peacock streaming show?
No, I've heard British wrestling guys describe it, but I thought they were joking.
No, it's like a reboot. I'm not entirely sure, but it's like
a reimagination.
It's a reimagination of the story of the Prince of Bel Air, but like very serious, apparently, like single camera, all about like there's tough scenes of him getting in fights in Philadelphia.
Canonical.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You got one little fight. Yeah.
It's just one of those like, oh, they are really, it's not going to be a fun, lighthearted, it's going to really dig into race and money, and it looks heavy. I guess I'll watch a little bit of it.
What streaming service is it on, or is it actually on TV?
It's on Peacock Plus.
That's the only worst one I don't have.
It sucks. I get it for, not free, but like with my parents' Xfinity cable, but it was a pain in the ass to set up. Like you gotta jump through some hoops even if you're paying for it.
Dang.
And then there's also still just commercials for some shit. They're like, well, because of streaming rights, it has to. Okay, cool.
I think we still have to pay $5 extra to get it without commercials.
So. But you know, even if you do that, there are still some that are like, nah, there's commercials.
Right? Oh yeah. I got heated in the DMs of the Peacock customer support Twitter account a while ago.
I don't think you're alone in that, JZT.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Peacock.
Yeah, I will say this. In my short time having Apple TV Plus, it's smooth. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's nice. And you can download the movies, right? So you don't have to... And then you can also do the thing where you swipe up on your phone because you got distracted and you're looking at something else.
Playing a game on your phone while watching a movie at the same time on the phone?
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let me go check. And then you're like, oh, shoot, let me go back. And it's easy to rewind, whereas some streaming services are not easy to rewind.
That's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, so good for you, Apple TV Plus. Yeah. Okay, so Finch, they're escaping, but then the Finch is sick, right? And then Jeff is like, oh no, I gotta take over. There's one point where they stop at like a little roadside diner, and
yes.
Jeff tries to drive the car, and he gets in trouble, and mm-hmm.
he's showing initiative, but he gets in trouble.
Mm. Poor Jeff. He is like a teenager at this point where he's just doing what he thinks, but he's not, I don't know. Anyway, but before that, Finch tells him the story about the working and how he was in a group project, but he did all the work and then he didn't take the credit for it. And that's trust. That was his example of trust, which I don't think. And even Jeff was like, I don't think that's trust. And it's like, yeah, you didn't trust your group. So Jeff was smart there, but yeah,
it accurately points out like the moral of that story is not what you're trying to tell me.
It's right.
Like, yeah.
It's like, it sounds like you're an, it's like, you don't like, it's because the point is like, well, I told the boss like, yeah, I couldn't have done it with my team. And he knew, oh, okay. You actually did it, but all right. Wink, wink. It's like,
yeah.
And no. I think that's a really strong like example of like, we'll not be able to communicate that to artificial intelligence. Like just the, oh, you know, things of being a human. They're just like, no, that there's no logic to that.
Yeah.
Like if everybody knows it's an artifice, why are you doing it?
Yeah. And I think it goes to show that it is like, that's the thing. It's nice about this movie where it's like Finch is not an easy, a likable guy. Like he's he has his difficult. And again,
I mean,
some of that is
Tom Hanks, so he's always
likable. He doesn't like people, I guess is what I mean. Yes. You know, he's ornery and we get this weird sense. He's like, this works for me. Like, I like this dog and I live on my own and I do my science with this robot. Like, don't have to deal with people. Cool. You know? And
Yeah.
You know, the longer the pandemic goes on, I relate more to Finch where I'm like, you know, I'm just with my cat. I don't need to talk to people. I could do it on my own.
But he does. Maybe this is less about people, but I feel like sometimes a disinterest in people is intertwined with a disinterest in life. And I think that's an unfair thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the cool things about this is Finch does, like, one of his like rules is take time out, you know, to enjoy it. And mm-hmm. I think that's what stops Finch from being a fully curmudgeonly, you know, unlikable character beyond just who he's betrayed by, but like, you know, the actual character. He can still smell the roses even if you're unhappy with the state of
A nice smart touch this movie makes is like before he has to leave because of the storm, it's like he's not miserable, he's not whiny, he's like happy,
he's
and
pretty
content.
Chill.
Yeah, you know, he's like, this is life. And
Feels very obviously it's about climate change too, but it feels very COVID-y where it's like you adjust. It's if you would have told us 3 years ago how we're living, we wouldn't have believed you. But then here we are, and we're singing American Pie to ourselves as we're just living in hell. But like that, and then as it gets worse, you will adjust for better or worse. That's just a human trait, you know.
Yeah. I do like the music in this movie. They picked some good songs for him to listen to. Which, because he sings American Pie at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Which I immediately was like, oh, this is going to be a fun movie. And then immediately was not. It was like, okay, never mind. Tom Hanks singing? Fun. No, he's dying? Okay, never mind. Not fun anymore. But yeah, and then anyway, I like the music in this.
You know, it's funny too. At the beginning of the movie, I was like, "Why American Pie? Why that song? That's weird." But when by the end, I was like, "Yeah, it's like great song and fitting." And okay, you got me. Good job.
Yeah, when I'm watching a movie, I'm like, "Who's this guy? What is he all about?" And then by the end of it, I'm like, "Yeah, that guy did the thing that he wanted to do."
At first, yeah. I was like, "What?" And then in the end, I was like,
"Wait,
yeah.
Who is this? Where are we? What's going on? Why?" And then by the end, I'll go, "Oh yeah!" Mm-hmm. Oh,
and then yeah. Everyone else watching is like, "Shh, you'll know at the end."
You are being a problem, sir. Like, okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, Finch. So then. They drive and he teaches Jeff how to drive. So then Jeff takes over because Finch gets sick, and that's when they all find out that he's gonna die. And then Jeff does the thing where he takes initiative, goes to that hospital, and it's bad news. And then they're trying to escape the other car, and then they break it, their car, the solar panels on top. And that's when they're like, we're not going to make it to San Francisco in time. But Jeff finds the postcard and he reads the back of it, and it's from Finch's dad. And then he's like, what's up with your dad? And then we find out that his dad was a Viking.
Yes, he was.
but he, just disappeared. Bad. He was a bad dad. And Finch, bought a suit. For one day, he would be reunited with his dad, and then he never got to wear it. But he has the suit with him, and it still fits. Great, you know. Oh, there's one point in the beginning of the movie where Tom Hanks is like naked on a chair.
Yeah.
Looking slim, I gotta say.
Yeah. Slender. Do you think there was some augmentation there with computers, or did bro really keto it up?
I don't know.
I hate to say it. CGI. Yeah. Probably some slimming, but you know.
Well, I don't know why you hate to say that. That's fine. He didn't look healthy. I'm not saying you should.
Oh, good point. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Tom has messed with his body so much from doing all these different movies and stuff like that that he has diabetes now.
Oh, no. Oh, does he?
Yeah. And so I don't think he would do anything intense. Unless it was getting healthy, because you know he's got to be healthy.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to trick these actors into caring for themselves by giving them a role. Just where it's like, this guy just takes it easy, all right?
Yeah,
he reads two books a month, he drinks water every day. Just try doing that method, all right?
Yeah,
he washes his hands after he goes to the bathroom. That's his character's deal.
That's it. I think you should tell more people that. Okay. Well, yeah. So then Finch is dying, and he wears his suit, and then he teaches Jeff how to play fetch with the dog.
A very tender moment. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very cute. It was like a little kid, you know, when a kid meets a dog for the first time and they're like, the dog keeps going back to the owner, and it's like, why won't he play? He doesn't like me.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, he'll learn. Dogs will learn.
Well, the other thing is, Jeff doesn't have a scent for the dog to get associated with. So I think that's a big hurdle for Jeff to get over, is like any scent that's coming off of him isn't, you know, organic, isn't. So it's harder for the dog to, you know, encode on that stuff. Just saying. It's going to be hard for Jeff. That's all.
Well, the dog did pee on Jeff at the beginning of the movie.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
So now he owns Jeff. So
Jeff. Yeah. And then at one point, Finch does tell the story of how he got the dog, which is the dog was owned by a little girl and her mom, who he saw in like a grocery store or something like that. And they got killed.
Finch was hiding because he's like, this little girl will shoot me like if I reveal myself, even though she's a nice little girl. But then someone showed up and killed that nice little girl and her dad.
It's so sad.
Brutal world.
Very sad.
But then the dog was in the backpack, and so he's like, I will take care of this dog.
When Goodyear's head pops out of that backpack. So cute. So cute.
He's like, woo, 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 woo.
Oh, like fun fact I learned from the making of, the name of the dog actor is Seamus.
Hey, shout outs to Seamus.
They whittled it down to two dogs, and then they let Tom Hanks decide who, which was the dog.
Oh, no. Imagine being the other dog.
I know. Look, you got real far, but you're just no Seamus, other dog.
Oh, no. Oh,
we don't even know the other dog's name. We can't even give a shout out to the other dog.
Maybe there's more. I could do some digging, but no, not in the making.
Please do.
Mm-hmm. Do you think dog's gonna...
I'm gonna need you to do more digging on the other dog who didn't play good here in Finch, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so sad. Do you think that other dog is gonna start a podcast about how Tom Hanks didn't hire him?
Surely, yeah. You know, it's one of the
dog eyes
coming dog podcasts.
Yeah. I would listen to that. It'd just be a bunch of woof, 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 woof. Right?
We joke, but there's going to be a dog podcast that just blows up any day now.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Connor should get that dog on Dead Eyes.
Yes. Connor, if you're listening, do it.
And I know he is.
Speaking Connor's of learning to sound like a dog, Jeff tries to learn dog language and he fails hard.
Oh, he does. It's very funny. Goodyear just doesn't like Jeff until he has to like Jeff because there's no one else around, which is really sad.
That's kind of again, dogs and imprinting and all that stuff. That kind of is the case. It's just that's my alpha. That's my owner until it's not anymore. And then I guess yeah, there's a warming up period, and then yeah.
And I did find it a little tender, the moment where I think when they're playing, when Finch is watching them play catch, he's like, I don't know if it's going to work. You know, he kind of feels like, I hope, you know, he's telling Jeff like, yeah, he'll learn. But he's like, there's an element where he's like, I don't know. And I hope. And it's intense. I'm like, gosh, you know.
Yeah.
I hope.
It's so sad. And then that's when Finch dies. And it's so sad because he's wearing a suit and then he coughs up blood on it.
Before he does, though, the world they pull a happening. And Night Shyamalan's The Happening, and the world just goes, you know what? We're done being bad. The world's fine now.
Yes,
yeah. It's been bad enough, and everything's fine. And but it's still too late for our boy Finch. And then he
Swiss cheese. He keeps saying it's Swiss cheese. And I guess on the West Coast, it's no holes. No holes in the world. So everyone move out west. That was my takeaway.
Yeah. It does feel like what a coastal elitist movie. Oh, it's fire outside in Missouri, but in San Francisco, everything is groovy.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it is it's a thing about, well, California is doing everything they can about global warming, but maybe that's why
the climate or where it is region, you know, kind of same reason why like coffee grows, you know, here but not there, you know. I don't know.
I don't know about this coffee. Where doesn't coffee grow?
Well, like I know, for instance, like Mexico or Costa Rica, good climates for making coffee versus, you know,
they don't got coffee in Alaska?
Well, they can't grow it. They ship the beans, but yeah. But then in the movie, he says, well, the aurora borealis used to only be able to see it in Alaska, but now we can see it here in between, I don't know, everywhere. Nebraska, in between everywhere. Missouri and San Francisco. Yeah, so.
Wow.
Or Swiss cheese theory. Who knows, you know?
Yeah. Who knows? But it's nice right before he dies. So that's nice.
He's looking great. He looks great in that suit.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I got really sad when he was like, my suit.
I ruined my suit. Yeah, he really feels sad that he ruined his suit. You're like, oh, poor guy.
Oh, it's now, so Rachel, sad.
How many movies does Tom Hanks die in?
Too many.
Too many? Okay.
Yeah, there's just too many. There's
Apollo.
Philadelphia, I assume, right?
Philadelphia.
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. One of the worst ones.
Forrest Gump?
Jenny does.
On a bus stop.
Oh, you're right.
Lady Killers, he dies.
Yeah, but I like Lady Killers. I like that movie.
I haven't seen that since the theaters. What a romp.
Yeah, it's a romp.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, there's a lot of Tom Hanks dying, and I don't appreciate it. Sir, if you're listening, stop doing that. Yeah, no. Toy Story, he survives. Because he's a toy.
He looked close there in 3, though, for a minute. Thought he wasn't gonna.
Yeah, but he survives.
But he did. Those aliens.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he dies and he gets a Viking death or, you know, burial, whatever, where he burns him. It's also how Darth Vader is, right?
Also, not to change subject, but remember how like February 2020, like the Academy Awards, Parasite wins. And then they're like, oh, it's the end of the show, though. We got to play them off. And then like Tom Hanks and Charlize Theron were clapping like, let them speak. Like, all right, fine. And then they like cut the music and put the lights back on and let the Parasite team make an announcement. And then COVID happened a week or two later.
Oh, no.
Weird memory.
I don't remember that. But I do remember Tom got... What is that special Cecil B. DeMille Award right before COVID, right? And Charlize Theron was like the person that introduced him because he gave her first start in That Thing You Do.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Oh, how sweet.
And Tom, where's my first start? Just kidding. Then they drive to San Francisco to the Golden Gate Bridge. And they it's very sad. Well, it's not sad. It's happy because they see a bunch of different pictures and postcards of people being like, I'm still alive. Come find me. So I guess if the end of the world comes, we all go to
Twitter.
San Francisco.
Is now just the Golden Gate Bridge is the only way you can do Twitter now.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. I think I'm down for that. You have to travel to Twitter. I think that should be the new rule. If you want to post on social media, you have to physically go to a place to do it. And it's far away.
Then it would be better tweets because if you give yourself some time before you post, then you think, is this actually worth posting? No.
Yeah.
Imagine how would we think of Elon Musk if he actually thought about these tweets? You know, like maybe we'd be like, you know what, this guy not so dumb after all. Or would he still travel all the way across the country?
That's what I'm thinking, is that he would use his resources to get to the place very quickly and not value it the same way that other people would.
And still just write, Rick and Morty, good. Yeah. And then walk and then travel back to wherever he hides from the sandstorm. Speaking of sandstorms, good song, Sandstorm.
What song is that?
Oh, it's called Sandstorm. It's one of those EDM dance classics.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't know that song? It was like a staple of childhood, I feel like.
I think if we played it, you'd probably go, oh, yes, I've heard this in a sketch comedy show, or I recognize that bullshit.
But there's no lyrics, right? It's just that over and
correct.
Over again?
Yeah. It's like one, very rudimentary.
Sandstorm.
We're all dancing, listeners. You can't see it. We're grooving. Yeah.
Don't sing too much. It sounds too much like it, and I don't have the rights to it. So,
Wow.
And then the movie ends. Yeah. Well, they kind of decide that they're gonna go. Well, they as if the dog can decide anything. They kind of decide to go find people, maybe. I don't know. So, yeah. And then it ends. And I'm crying because Tom Hanks is dead. And then
I got to shut up. I think the moment that made me cry was, it's clear Tom Hanks is dying. And they're walking back to the RV. And Jeff says something to the effect of like, you know, I still need to help you. And I think Tom Hanks says, you have helped, Jeff. Yeah. You have. You know, it's very... Oh, you've done your job, you know, and we're good, you know. It's like, oh, so such a heart wrencher.
Tom Hanks giving you the validation must be pretty chill.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be a good feeling for Tom Hanks to be like, hey, you did a good job.
Yeah, I want that.
If I was like, if I was a PA on a Tom Hanks movie and my job was to like wave people on, and Tom Hanks said, "Good job, I understand where I'm supposed to park," I would cry. I'd be like, "Yeah, I nailed it."
Yeah, I think I just want him to say good job, and then I can probably do the easy thing and just move back home and live with my mom for the rest of my life. But instead, I'm trying really hard in California just to get that good job from Tom Hanks, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
I appreciate that honesty, Rachel.
Yeah. I don't want anything really. I just want Tom Hanks to say good job.
Wow.
Well, you know, this is the perfect podcast to get there. You know, I think if we know anything about podcasts, if you make us focus it on a subject, sooner or later, the band U2 shows up and tells you.
Very boring episode.
You have to
stop doing everything that got you there because you're you're not so confident that the person actually vibes with what you do. And
what are we at I Would Scare 2 driving towards? Why, that's having Coco Arquette, the daughter of Courtney Cox, on our podcast in what would surely be a 20-minute episode that gets cut down to 10.
It's possible. Do you need help? I can get Coco there.
You got TikTok connects, right?
Yeah.
That would be great. We would love to have a conversation with Coco Arquette, our favorite actor, TikToker, you know, personality in the world. Our favorite actor. What movies has she been in? She hasn't. But surely she's done some high school plays, you know? She's probably a web series.
Yeah. Every day is like acting. You're acting like a human, you know?
Yeah. Staying active in New York, yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, we watched Finch. So let's talk about what is the moral of this story?
What is the moral of Finch, you know? Teaching is hard. Mm-hmm. I think, and at some point you die and you just have to hope what you did carries on and resonates, you know, the lessons you imparted. Well,
yeah, it really is a, if my work touched one person, it's a success kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mine is, sometimes you think that one thing is trust, but really it's not. Because really, Tom Hanks is the one who had to learn to trust Jeff with the dog instead of Jeff learning trust from Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Right. Also, I think a lot of the robots learning to love things are, in fact, them teaching us to love.
Yes. And also, I was trying, I don't know much about zodiac signs, but I was like, I'm pretty sure that Tom Hanks, a Finch is like maybe like a Capricorn.
I've heard people describe.
Can I
being
ask why you think that?
Aren't Capricorns like
you think
really
was born in January or what?
They're really smart, right? And they like to do things. They're like, I'll just do it by myself.
Gotcha.
Yeah, a little stubborn, perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah,
I won't say who, but I know one Capricorn who's a little stubborn. I don't know him personally.
I think, you know which Capricorn you're talking about.
But
we want to play a little bit of guess who here.
I think I know who you think I was thinking of. It's not that person, but I think I'll text you. No.
How many goddamn Capricorns do you know, dude?
Okay, say, man, I know a couple Capricorns. I know a Capricorn or two.
A cornucopia of Capricorns?
I know a cornucopia of Capricorns, yes. Yes.
But Tom Hanks is a Cancer, which is correct, because Cancers are like really emotional and nice, I think, is what I've gathered from my very basic learning. And Aquariuses are weird. That's what I know.
Aquariuses are weird. Yeah. What's the one? Yeah. I think it's the TikToker Chunky is Dead, Melissa Ong. she made a video where she's playing two characters where she's like, okay, three, because one of the characters was a waiter. Like, hey, do you have any allergies or illnesses? And one of them's like, shut up, don't say it, don't say it. It's like, oh, no, I'm going to. Yes, my friend is a Capricorn or Pisces. And maybe it was Pisces. People were harping hard on Pisces a while back. I don't know. But, you know, as a Scorpio, it really spoke to me because everyone's yeah, always giving a shit.
Rachel, what are you?
I'm an Aquarius.
Okay. All right. So the weird thing. Got it.
Yeah. Well, now that we've come to the end, let's rate Finch out of 5 Tom Hankses. How many Tom Hankses do you give this movie?
I would give this 3.5 Tom Hanks.
Yes, I agree.
3.5. Okay.
Good. Solid. Maybe could use a little more meat on the bone of this movie, but good heart to it. And
or less. That's the thing. It's like, if it's going to be super bare bones, survivalist, lean into that. But there's a certain point where it just turns too early or too late. And I don't know, there's some sort of imbalance, but not enough to ruin it. But just,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 4 just because I liked it better than Greyhound.
It's valid.
Greyhound bump, yeah.
And I'm going off of what I've seen recently, which is a lot of Colin Hanks. So it was refreshing to see Tom Hanks.
I think this is also a lot better than I assumed it would be because like I heard nothing about it. I'm like, does this movie exist? You know, and I was like, oh, this is decent. This is good.
Yeah.
What are the Colin Hanks movies? Orange County, Great Buck Howard, Jumanji, The Next Level. What else is there?
There's a lot. He was in a couple of rom-coms in the early 2000s where he plays like the best friend. And then there's a horror movie, one with Diane Lane in it. Where there's like a hacker guy. King Kong. He was in King Kong. Then there is a movie where he plays like a stalker. He stalks this woman and it's all like shot through like security cameras. So she definitely doesn't have toys that are moving around. and then what else? There's a movie Lucky that I just saw. He was in The Guilt Trip for like a second. See, that's the thing with Colin. He's like in a lot of movies, but he always plays like bit parts. So, oh, and then my favorite Colin Hanks movie so far, The House Bunny. Very good.
Hey. Oh,
yeah. He's done a lot, but he hasn't starred in a lot, if that makes sense. And then the stuff that he has done, you haven't heard about it. Because it's like indie films. I was happy to see Tom. And now I got to go back to Colin.
Is there any more Tom on the horizon that's been announced? Do we know what Tom's up to next?
Yeah, he has that Pinocchio movie for Disney Plus, the live action one, where he's Geppetto. And then there's the Elvis one where he's the manager.
Wow. Who's playing Elvis?
What's his face?
You are Fesh. Didn't you get the email?
Yes, I knew it.
Yeah, you booked it.
I think that was the movie he was it's a Baz Luhrmann movie. And I think that was the one he was shooting in Australia when he got COVID. So.
That no good Borat did what he did.
Yeah, so... yeah. Who is it? Who is the guy that's... I can't remember his name, but he was in Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure.
Okay.
Did you see that?
All right.
Okay,
no, Disney, didn't catch that.
It's a Disney Channel original movie. That was Finch. Any last thoughts on Finch?
You know, if you're... parents have weird feelings on climate change or global warming. I don't know how they feel about this movie. And let me know. But otherwise, I was afraid to broach the subject with my parents. So, good luck.
Yeah, I think it actually is a good one. If you don't bring that to the forefront and you just like let it happen, they'll connect those dots for you. But it's also got plausible deniability because it's a sci-fi movie. And yeah,
yes, it makes no stance on any of that. It's just like, this is just what this deal is. This is the setting, the background.
Right.
Yeah. I think people watch post-apocalyptic movies and be like, oh, that's a thing, but it's never going to happen. But they're not thinking about the cause and effect of it.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. My final thought is it is nice to see in a post-apocalyptic movie that violence is next to a non-factor. Obviously, it happened. And there's that flashback sequence.
And the threat of it at all times.
Yes, of course. But the fact that it's not loud, and I don't think he doesn't like have a gun or anything, does he?
He pulls a gun at one point once he gets, once they know the guy's following him, he's ready for it, but we never see him shoot.
But like guns don't play a role.
Correct.
Yeah. That's, I think, pretty rare.
It's like stowed away the gun like a last resort. And it's like, well, this
is really about survival, not what the what we call survivalist people nowadays what that means versus what actually surviving would be.
Yeah,
and that's an emphasis on life versus death.
Yeah. When he was talking about the two types of people, the people that survived and the people that kind of bunkered down and then eventually died, I was like, that would be me. I would just be like, I'm going to stay home. Oh, no, I ran out of food. Oh, I'm dead. And then that's not putting in that much effort. Yeah. Finch. Fun time?
Yes. Fun time, good time.
Okay. Well, thank you for being my guests today. Where can people find you?
Hey, check us out at Instagram. I was scared to the number 2, or at GZT Sound System on Instagram. I'm an Instagram maniac.
This guy loves Instagram.
Oh, maniac. I love Instagram.
Wait, what's your TikTok, JZT? I don't want
to. Oh, gosh. I think I'm at JazzTown3. I am on TikTok. I like TikTok.
Yeah.
Me too.
I put this because you like TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
I can't figure the dang thing out. So I want somebody to get their plugs out there.
That's right.
Yeah. And then also follow us at I Was Scared the Number 2 on Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm. We got a March Madness bracket coming up.
Coming up. King of Kings tournament.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Breaking news.
Breaking Instagram news. Paging Mr. Morrow retweeted me. I did an impression of him in the parking lot of a Costco and he shared it.
Wow.
This is humongous.
That's amazing. That's insane. Wow. He's a theme park influencer. I love.
Oh,
you're gunning for him though, right? You're gunning for him, right?
I'm gunning for him, yeah. And he, I guess, approves or doesn't hate it. He shared it, so he's not. I guess I did a good job.
I think Mr. Morrow knows any press is good press.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna message him soon. Like, oh man, thanks, and maybe he'll tell me. Well, this will
ask him. See if he has any thoughts on Frankenstein. See if we can get him on the pod.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh yeah, Frankuary. We're in the middle of Frankuary right now, and I was scared too. We're talking all things Frankenstein.
Fun.
Right,
yeah. Universal, right?
Yep. But we're gonna cover them all. Course of years, we're gonna get to every Frankenstein property that's ever been made, and boy, is there a lot of them.
There is.
There's that commercial, the Apple commercial.
Yep. With the Christmas tree.
That makes me cry every time I see it. He's so sad.
We'll do a full 2-hour episode on that in 2028.
With this little thing. Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Well, everyone, go listen and follow. And thank you again for being my guest today. This was very fun. And thank you for paying for Apple TV Plus. And for watching the movie, even though it was sad, but it was good. Okay, and Hanks for listening. Okay, bye.
It's a Tom Hanks podcast. Wow, a Tom Hanks podcast. You've got Hanks, so let's say thanks for